Well, good morning again. Morning. We're sneaking up on Christmas, aren't we? Again, I just want to thank you guys for the gift and just for being who you are, being such an awesome church. And I'm blessed to be here. I hope that you are blessed to be here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to invite you to look in the seat back in front of you. There's a blue card you'll find there that you can register your attendance with us. You don't have to do that, but we'd certainly like to know that you were here. And if you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the box. You can just leave those in the seat there, in the seat cushion when you leave, and we'll find those. And just would love to know that you're here. Just a reminder, next week, there will be no Sunday school next week, and we will have a shorter, and I'm probably going to, the only time in my life I'll get an amen. My sermon will be shorter next week. Thank you. Love the support, you know, Robert. And we'll have a little condensed service, but we will have services at our normal time, 10:30 next week, and then at 5:30 next evening, Christmas Eve evening, we will have a candlelight service that I think is a special service. Again, I will not be preaching. Amen. Thank you. But I think that's a special service, and we just celebrate that Jesus is indeed here and our Savior, and He's coming again. Earlier in the service, Stan Egger came up to me and shared something that was just too good to not share, and he agreed to share with you guys what he shared with me. Stan, where you at? Would you mind coming and doing that?
Thank you, Jeff. Your topic for today, joy, is just fits into my life and my current status very well. A year and a half ago, I was diagnosed here in Abilene with leukemia. And they told me at that time there really wasn't a cure unless I went through a bone marrow transplant, which I had no idea what that was. But I've learned since then. To make it short, a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with leukemia. A year ago, I was in the hospital. I was in the hospital for about 35, 40 days. I just received my son's stem cells a year ago. And this week, I was told I was cancer-free. And thanks to this church and the prayer warriors in this church and the many friends that I have and the good Lord healing power, I have a new start, and so I'm wondering what he has for me to do in my, and this is my new life. When they put my son's stem cells in, I'd gone through a lot of chemo, and they'd pretty much wiped my system clean, which was what they intended to do. But my new birthday, instead of September the 27th, is now November the 22nd, so thank you very much for letting me share.
Aren't you glad that he would share that with us this morning? You know, it does not escape my attention that Danny, your dad, heads to Houston in the morning to receive a stem cell transplant, Lane Jackson. And, you know, God is good. And even when we're going through trials, and we're going to talk some about that today, he is good and he is faithful. So just thank you, Stan. We missed you while you were out there for a while. You couldn't be around people because we're germy. I don't know if y'all knew that. We're kind of germy people. But it's good to have you guys in church with us and sharing that victory. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I've actually preached on this before. I've preached on the whole book of Philippians, and Philippians is one of my favorite books. It's just a joyful book, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But Philippians 4, This is the Apostle Paul's words writing to this church in Philippi, and we're going to pick it up in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That's really, there's a sermon right there. We could stop right there. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now that's what we're assigned to do, is to rejoice and to present everything to Him. And then there's a payoff. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Skip into verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have, and I think he could maybe say in there something that we might relate to, some of us. I know what it is to have cancer. I know what it is to have loss and grief. You just fill in the blanks. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you, but I know you're already here. We don't want to be without you. So come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The angel proclaimed, one of our Christmas passages that we read every year, he proclaimed, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Not some people, not most people, but will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You know how when you're waking up in the morning and you're conscious, you know, but you're still kind of laying there. That this morning, as I was, I knew my alarm was going to go off just any minute, and I'm laying there, and I'm kind of awake, and I'm anticipating that alarm to go off, and this passage just kept going through my head. It just started running through my head. I bring you good news of great joy. And it just went over and over and over. You think God was maybe trying to tell me something? I bring you good news of great joy, Jesus. The angel said that Jesus' birth, when God became flesh, He came and He brought us good news of great joy. Not just good news, but good news of great joy. We miss the great joy so many times. So here's the question for us as we begin the sermon today. Are you joyful with all your heart? Or are you hardly ever joyful? Uh-oh. Let me ask it again. Are you joyful with all your heart? Or are you hardly ever joyful? You know, this is week 3 of my Advent sermon series, God is with us. God is with us. And today is Emmanuel Joy. Okay, don't you love that? How can you look at that gorilla and not laugh? I mean, I ran across that. Sorry, I shouldn't have put that in there. But I ran across that picture years ago, and every once in a while I'll just be scanning through, cleaning up my computer and going through files, and I come across that goofy little gorilla, and I just laugh. Emmanuel Joy. Okay, you can take that off. I had to share that with you. So this series I've been talking about how the prophet Isaiah proclaimed that the virgin would be with child and he would be called Emmanuel. And then the angels proclaimed 700 or 800 years later that it was happening, that told Mary, you will be with child. She was a virgin. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a child, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And because God is with us, we have these words that we attach to the Advent season: peace and hope and joy and love. Those are the words that each week we symbolize. We talk about those words each week of Advent. And so I was thinking that we have those things because God is with us. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the city of David, Jesus is born. And so because of Jesus being born, because he is Emmanuel, because he is the Word of God, he is God made flesh, we can have joy. And as Billy pointed out in the prayer time, it's different than happiness. Happiness is just like, well, we laugh when somebody tells a funny joke, or when we see something funny on TV or in a movie, or we laugh and we might be joyful at that moment. But the joyful that goes beyond our circumstances, that penetrates whatever is going on in our life. So this, does anybody ever wonder why Emmanuel is sometimes spelled with an E and sometimes with an I? Does anybody ever wonder that besides me? I wonder it all the time. So I studied and looked it up. It's because the Greek and the Hebrew words that for Emmanuel were different in the vowel sound that they started with was different. In the Hebrew, it was with an I in the Hebrew and an E in the Greek, or it might have been switched. But that's why. So if you ever wonder, they're both right. So if you see an E, Emmanuel with an E, or Emmanuel with an I, they're both right. And I promise you, that's not the end of the sermon. I just thought you might want to know that. Some of you would have been really joyful if that had been the end of the sermon. All right, so I want to set this book up for just a second, this chapter that we just looked at, Philippians. It's really interesting to me that Paul is writing about rejoicing, and he's writing from prison. How many of us, you know, if we get thrown in jail, and we're sitting there going, rejoice in the Lord always, hot dog, I'm in jail. And he was in jail not because he did anything wrong, but for proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And so he's in jail, and in the book of Philippians, they believe that many scholars will disagree on where he was and the exact time, but kind of the popular opinion is he was in Rome, he was in prison, and he writes this book of Philippians, which was a letter. And he uses joy, or a form of joy, rejoice, to be joyful and rejoicing. He uses it 17 times in this letter. Joy that transcends under circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes, not if things are going well, but rejoice in the Lord always. He talks about this joy and contentment that is learned, and we figure out later that it's learned through trials. How many of you grow spiritually, typically through great times? I know in my own life, when I have gotten closer to the Lord, it's been through trials. It's been through struggles. It's been when I had nothing else, no one else to rely on but Jesus. That's when I grew closer to Him. So it's this, the secret of being content is a learned skill. It is learned through trials. I want to say this. There's a say this about Christians. I've said it before, but nobody is attracted. This is my term. It's not in the Bible. To a freeze-dried Christian, nobody's attracted to that. I mean, if you work with someone, or you come in contact with someone, somebody's like, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." It's like all they ever do is gripe and moan and complain and mope around and woe is me. And it's like, oh, wow, hey, how do you sign up for this Christian thing? Nobody does that. Nobody is attracted to a freeze-dried Christian. And we should understand that. One of the things about Jesus, many times Jesus on movies and stuff, he's portrayed as this solemn character. You know, he's always serious and solemn. And I know there were moments like that for Jesus, but it also says that the little children were attracted to Jesus. How many little children are attracted to fuddy-duddies. Think about it. You think the little children would have been clamoring to Jesus if he walked around moping around like, whoa, Jesus? I ran across this picture several years ago. In fact, I ran across it in the 90s. I think it was actually done in the 80s. But this is my favorite artist illustration of Jesus. You ever seen that? Man, I like that. I mean, we don't know for sure what Jesus physically looked like, but I think he laughed a lot. I think he was joyful a lot. Who knows, you know, sitting around with those 12 knucklehead disciples, who knows what they were doing? And can't you just see Jesus, you know, sitting on the beach and they're cooking bread and wrestling? And you know, Cheryl, with guys, when Cheryl will, you should know this, the more I love you, usually the meaner I am, especially if you're a guy. I was raised that way. My mom she's a knucklehead too, but you... You know, we're teasers. We're teasers, right, Sandra?
Absolutely.
People hear me talk to Sandra and they think, golly, that's the meanest preacher I've ever seen in my life. But I love Sandra, and she knows I love her. And so can't you just imagine, you know, Cheryl will say something like, why do you men talk so mean to each other? Because we love each other. That's what we do. But just joy, just having joy. One of the things I was talking with Billy this morning, we were talking about Vacation Bible School, and I was talking with Robert, and one of the things, I'm usually doing something goofy, and I usually drag Billy into it with me for the Vacation Bible School. And people think, well, Jeff just likes being silly, which is true. But secondly, I want the kids to understand that being a Christian is fun. It's fun to love Jesus, and it's fun to be loved by him. Be joyful. Now, I've got to admit that there are days when I'm not that joyful Christian. But I know that's the goal. I know that's what God wants for me, and I know, as Billy said, that's a supernatural thing. So let's, as we talk about this Emmanuel joy, that we have joy because God is with us, the first thing is the secret. Let's talk about what does it take, the secret of Emmanuel joy is to praise God continually and sacrificially. Praise him. I've told this story before, but I'll just a quick deal. A friend of mine was backpacking, and they were counting on going up there and trout fishing and having this great time, and it rained on them all the way up there, and they set up their tents, and it's just raining, pouring down rain, and he was madder than he could be. And he's sitting in his tent. And by the way, there was like three preachers. I was not with them, but there was three preachers. And he was just mad because God's rain was just spoiling our good time. I want to trout fish. And as they're sitting there in their tents, their three separate little tents, and they're watching the rain that come down, and they can't even get out of their tents, one of the pastors started singing a praise song. And this friend of mine said, I wanted to go over there and strangle him. How dare him start, I'm mad here. How dare him praising the Lord? And then after a couple of verses, the other pastor started joining in and singing with him. And before you know it, they were all singing praises looking out of the hole of their pup tent. And soon after that, the rain broke and they got to enjoy their time in the mountains. But praise God. There's something in the spiritual realm that breaks when we praise God, even through difficult times. Praise him because he's God and because he loves us. And he never promised us an easy time in this life. Hebrews 13, it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. So there's this idea of sacrificial praise. When things are not going well, we sacrificially still give our praise to God. Something about that breaks something in the spiritual realm for us, and joy can be returned. Secondly, the secret of Emmanuel joy is to replace worry with prayer. I don't know about y'all, but we are a culture of worriers, aren't we? Worrying about stuff we really had no control over. Just worrying. Well, this passage we looked at today, the word says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. First Peter says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. So we replace worry with prayer. We give it up to God. And this is, man, I believe me, I'm not preaching just to you. These words I need to hear as well. Replace worry with prayer. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And third thing, the secret of Emmanuel joy is to practice godly thinking. I've talked about this many times. I don't know if y'all remember, we used to have two little college girls. I called them Gemini because they were always together. They were like, you know, separated or attached at the hip. But I would tell them, they would, you know, like a lot of young people and then like some of us older folks, some of the music that I knew, they'd tell me about some of the music they listened to, and I'm like, girls, don't be listening to that stuff. Don't be listening to that stuff. Because I said, if you put it up here, it comes out here. And they latched on to that, and they'd always, of course, they would make it much more dramatic. They'd go, Pastor Jeff says, if you put it in here, it comes out here. They'd kind of do it in a college way, but is it not true? Is it not true? If we put things up here, that's what comes out of our life. If we put the old thing, garbage in, garbage out. The Word of God says to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And I'll tell you that that is the enemy's number one weapon against us, is this right here. We begin to think things that we shouldn't think. We begin to think things even about ourselves that's not true. You're a loser. Nobody likes you. You're worthless. You'll never be able to do that. I mean, over and over, we put things in our mind and we let the enemy, that's where he comes against our minds, and he wants to beat us down. But God's word says, take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. There's things that are truth, we're true, that we'll get to in just a second. First, I want to mention, I don't know why, but this goofy song came into my mind from, and it was back in the 60s. Anybody remember Roger Miller? And he had the weirdest songs. He had the goofiest songs. And you'd sing them, and you'd be singing them along, and you're like, then, you know, like 5 years later, go, what does that song mean? I don't even know what that song means. Remember, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd? Somebody sing it. Come on. Oh, no, we don't have to sing it. Don't put us through that. But you can't. Is somebody singing over there? Debbie, you know I'm going to bring you a mic if you're not careful. You can't roller skate, and the young ones are going, what? You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, and he says that three times. You can't roller skate in a buffalo herd, but you can be happy if you've a mind to. What he's saying is like, choose joy. I don't know if Roger Miller was a Christian, but that's certainly biblical. Joy is the result through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have the Spirit in us and we are pressing into the Spirit, joy is the result of habitually doing, saying, thinking the right things. I mean, if we really do choose joy. It's a choice. Now I know that there are medical conditions that, you know, chemical things and stuff that can cause depression and stuff so forth, but I'm just like, man, okay, I get that. I know there's some medical stuff, but I'm just, try this. Instead of a bunch of medication and stuff, try just thinking about Jesus, pressing into Jesus, and putting your focus on being a servant rather than on a consumer. Hello? Is anybody listening? I mean, when we are thinking about, and that's one of the reasons why, and Brent and Miller and I have talked about this, one of the reasons we want to take our youth on mission trips is to teach them to be servants. Because when you serve, you're blessed, and there's great joy in being a servant. Joy is a result of habitually doing, saying, thinking the right thing. Sadness is a result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the wrong things. So the passage today talks about to think about whatever is true. So let's say a few things that God tells us is true. The first is that God loves me. He loves you. He loves me. God loves us. First John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So God, Emmanuel, God with us, God became flesh so that we might be reconciled to God, so that we might have a relationship once again with the Father. So we know that God loves us. We know that God is with me. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And he has proven that by sending his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He walks with us through everything that comes our way. We know that the truth is that God will work things together for my good. And we've had many, many times when we have prayed, us as a church and me as a pastor, you know, we've prayed. And many times we have joyful things to celebrate, like Stan shared with us this morning. But I've also done funerals as a pastor for people we've prayed for. So how do we make sense of all that? It's like, why sometimes does the prayer seem to, you know, why does that happen? And sometimes it doesn't. And that's a question for the Lord. I know that He loves us. I know that He's with us. And I know that no matter what we face, He will somehow work good out of it. We have lots of questions that someday we'll ask the Lord. And finally, I know who I belong to. How great, God's Word says, how great is the love of the Father that He's lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And I've talked about this before, but I love this imagery of adoption. We've got some families that have adopted and are even in the process of trying to adopt. And I just love that. It's like, because they just, you know, they love that child and they want to bring that child into their family. And that's the way I just picture God. He's walking through this orphanage and I'm laying there and He comes to me and you, and He says, I choose this one. I want this one. And that's you. That's you. We are His children. And man, if we focus on those things, if we put those kinds of things and the truth of those things in our mind, joy will begin to bubble out of us when we know who we are and who we belong to. And finally, Emmanuel joy results. Here's the payoff in God's transcendent peace and strength. God's transcendent peace and strength. So, as I said when I was reading the passage, He's saying, rejoice and submit your request to me, trust in me, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to play a video. Joan, where you at, Joan? Joan sent me this, so you can blame Joan or thank Joan. I tell you, she sent me this video a month or so ago. I was having a great time just watching. Now one of the little girls is gonna stick out to you, but I want you to watch the other kids too, because we learn from both of them. So go ahead and play it, Alan.
There's revival in the spring, like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the prayer of our gospel song. Won't you choose?
Well, I probably shouldn't say it, but I couldn't get Taylor Wood out of my mind that whole time I was watching that. Taylor, I can see you doing that, girl. Well, you know, I don't know if you noticed the little boy standing right in front of her. He wanted so bad, didn't he? He wanted so bad. I mean, those hands were just, I mean, he wanted, something was holding him back. I don't know if it was embarrassment. Mom was going, maybe that was it. That's, God wants, I mean, that little girl didn't care who was watching. She wasn't embarrassed. She was joyful. God, that's what God wants for us. Invite the praise team to come up. You know, I just encourage you as we seek that Emmanuel joy that we press in. We press in. The more, as I think Billy mentioned it earlier, the more that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more that stuff, the joy and the fruit of the Spirit just kind of oozes out of us, the more we're filled with the Spirit. So that's the goal, seeking God himself, seeking to press into him and allow him to fill us up. So if you want to stand as we close.
Some dancing just now. I was inspired by the video. Let's go again.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. High and lifted, you're high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Lift him up. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, I want to see you. Holy, 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 Jesus. Holy, holy.
Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always, church. I will say it again, rejoice. Go and be joyful and tell somebody. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed. God bless you.
Holy, holy, holy.